The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
Very good indeed, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. It's pretty hot here, but it's summer after all. So anyway, talking about summer, we're halfway through the Brexit transition period now, which means there's limited time for UK nationals to get legal residence sorted out if they haven't already. But this week, let's consider if there's anything longer term that expatriates should consider about and steps they should be taking to make their financial position as secure as possible. So, Bill, do you think that many British expatriates continue to have the same savings and investments that they had when they lived back in the UK? And is that something they should reconsider with Brexit on the horizon?
That's a very good question, Howard. I mean, of course, obviously, now that the extension deadline, as it's known, for the Brexit transition period has passed by, it seems fairly certain, given that we don't have any more EU-UK fudges, that the UK will leave the EU at the end of December this year. I mean, somewhat reassuringly, deal or no deal, UK nationals who are already lawfully settled in their country of choice before 2021, they would have locked in the right to remain and enjoy uninterrupted citizens' rights. But as you say, there are still plenty of other unknowns. It's true that for the vast majority of individuals who come to take advice from Blevins Franks or to make an inquiry of Blevins Franks, they arrive, generally speaking, with a very well composed, usually quite valuable and very sensible collection of a variety of financial instruments, ranging from a portfolio of shares and bonds and of unit trusts, of insurance policies, of pension plan or plans. And generally speaking, the kind of people that do come to us have already made very wise and sensible decisions about their investments. And it's pretty obvious that having been a UK national and lived in the UK for the most part of their lives, the people who come to us who have taken up an expatriate life in continental Europe, they favour British investments. They often have UK corporate bonds or shares listed on the Financial Times indices. And that is especially the case if the individuals have been in a relationship with a UK-based advisor. It's quite understandable and it's perfectly sensible. But unfortunately, if that is the case, then your financial planning and your tax planning in particular may actually be better suited to a UK resident than someone who is now deciding to live an expatriate life or is living an expatriate life. And to some extent, UK advisors, whilst they generally speaking offer excellent advice, they may not be necessarily authorised to continue advising you once you are a UK resident after that transition period. So if you are using a UK advisor, it's a very good idea to check that your advisor is properly authorised and regulated in providing you as an EU resident with continuing advice. One of the issues of using a UK-based advisor is, of course, they have limited knowledge of the tax rules of the country in which you now live, and they don't often deal with the wider range of specific international investments and currency considerations that will apply once you have decided to live in the European Union. It is true, Blevins Franks have been offering advice to expatriates living in continental Europe for over 40 years. And one of the great strengths of Levin's Franks is, of course, that they started out their life as an accountancy, a UK accountancy practice, spread their knowledge and expertise into financial services, in particular to wealth management. And, of course, that means that they have a knowledge of what is necessary from a UK perspective, but they also are domiciled in the locations in which their expatriate clients live. So they have this dual level of knowledge and expertise between both the UK and the place in which you've chosen to live, so that for your departure from the UK, they can plan you in advance, and for your return to the UK, if that becomes necessary, they can prepare you for your return. But most importantly, they are local to where you are, and as so often is the case in continental Europe, the local rules that apply are vitally important, as is local knowledge and local expertise in how the rules are applied in your particular location. And that's a great strength of Blevins Franks. And so there is no question, in my view, that a local advisor with in-depth knowledge can help you avoid costly mistakes and take advantage of the various tax-efficient opportunities that apply in the country in which you live, and that will work, in most cases, much more in your favour than retaining UK sterling-denominated investments for the longer term.
Well, you mentioned sterling, Bill, so let's start with currency now and see the value of sterling fluctuate because of the Brexit concerns in the past. Do you think this could happen again as we get closer to the end of the year?
Oh, I think it's inevitable that we will see fluctuations. Look, we've seen the exchange rate at outset from in excess of 160 euros to the pound, dropping down to almost 1 euro to the pound. And even now, it looks as if the exchange rate is still likely to be volatile. You know, there has been a massive injection of funding from the European Central Bank and from the Bank of England, of course, and from the Federal Reserve in the US to support the economies during the pandemic. And at some point in time, that all has to be paid back. And how that is managed will, to a large extent, direct the volatility of currency exchange rate movements. And what you don't want to do as a retired British expatriate is to have an overdependence, if you like, an understandable but somewhat unwise overdependence on sterling as your base currency. If you're living in the European Union and you're going to be there for the longer term, you need to start matching your assets, the currencies and assets that you hold, in the currency that you're going to be spending for the longer term. You want to match your assets and liabilities as far as you can in the same currency, whilst also getting diversification. It's quite understandable and common for UK expatriates to retain financial connections with the UK, such as, you know, property, bank accounts, and many people preferring to keep their savings and investments in British pound sterling. There is a comfort, of course, in that familiarity, but it really does expose you to a quite unnecessary exchange rate risk. Once you're living in the European Union and spending euros in your daily life, it can therefore become more expensive to take your income in sterling. So it's worth exploring investment structures that offer the flexibility to you to invest and make withdrawals in different currencies.
So what can expatriates do to protect their income from these exchange rate movements?
I think it's that old word of diversification, not having all of your eggs in one basket to some extent. I mean, achieving better returns in today's difficult conditions and the low interest rate climate that we're in, that means, I think, looking a bit further than simply stuffing your money in a bank and in some of the fixed interest options, which simply don't offer any positive returns over the medium and into the long term. And whilst volatility is uncomfortable and unsettling for those people, if you are invested in accordance with your tolerance to risk and in accordance with your medium to longer term aspirations in a well-diversified portfolio, then you are best placed in those circumstances to see your wealth actually grow over time and not simply being protected at current levels. It's important that whoever gives you advice undertakes an objective assessment of your appetite for risk, and to ensure that established portfolio, once you've agreed on its structure, offers you the right balance of risk in relation to the sort of returns that you want, whilst also ensuring at the same time that you maintain peace of mind over the nature of those investments. Now, in the current circumstances, when the economies are likely to suffer further in the short term, there's a quite considerable degree of economic uncertainty. And so it is, and we believe this deeply at Blevins Franks, it's more important than ever to make sure that your portfolio is not overweight in UK assets and is suitably diversified. Now, you can reduce the risk, Brexit-related or otherwise, by spreading your investments across regions around the globe. The US market offers great potential in many areas, that the smaller markets do as well, the UK, Europe. And then spread it into different asset types, different classes of asset, shares, bonds, and in different market sectors, not all in one sector of the market. You might have some in pharmaceuticals, you might have some in financials, you might have some in oil and petrochemicals. You've just simply got to look at the various types of investments that are available and spread it across the regions, the asset types and market sectors. And that, of course, will limit your exposure in any one area. So if one area should dip, you're unlikely to suffer a major dip in your overall value. Investments are, to a large extent, often like the pistons of an engine, in the sense that when three of them are going up, one of them is going down, and vice versa. So you need the diversification to get the balanced improvement in returns over time.
Well, Bill, when it comes to your investment portfolio, do you think being overexposed to UK assets is risky right now?
I think it's risky if you are living in Spain for the longer term almost all of the time. Is it more risky right now? I think it probably is. And I think it probably is because of the current circumstances. Look, the Chancellor and the Prime Minister have made it very clear that they're going to continue to offer substantial financial benefits to the economy to try to build up more strength and a faster recovery coming out of this dreadful pandemic. And the circumstances are such that that does mean that there has got to be a payback for that. We've already seen talk just this last week about the Chancellor instructing a review of capital gains tax, for example, to raise the revenue to start to pay back some of this expenditure within the public domain. And that those actions, the issue of currency, the new tax that may have to come in, the perhaps increase in austerity in the UK to recover some of the funding that's been got. There are no free gifts from government. You know, they can only give out what they get in, as it were. They don't have any money of their own. All they've got is your money and mine and the money that they can borrow in the marketplace. So those actions of funding the economy in this way are likely to make a difference to the currency exchange rate that one can obtain for the pound sterling against both the euro and the US dollar and other currencies. So there is likely to be, I think, in the short to medium term, the next 6 to 18 months, a level of increased volatility. And that's why it's important right now to talk to someone like Blevins Franks to make sure that the currency mix that you've got is in such a way that it stabilises overall the way in which the currency implications apply to your portfolio. There isn't any point in having very good investments that make you, let's say, 10% in the next investment year, to find that the currency mix you've got is wrong, and as a consequence, the currency exchange rate has cost you 10%, realising at the end of the day you've actually not made any money in your base currency.
Well, if the Brexit negotiations don't go well, could the uncertainty affect stock markets? How can investors protect against this?
I think that's also likely to happen. You know, the negotiations that are going on at the moment between Frost and Barnier and the rest of the negotiating team is such that it looks unlikely that all of the key points of concern will be resolved by the 31st of December. It's a mighty challenge. And so I think that the uncertainty which that will create, and we've talked about this before, Howard, uncertainty in terms of investment matters always means that the markets price things down. So if there is a significant level of uncertainty, there will be a reasonable volatility as a consequence in the markets. Now, how can you avoid that? Well, first of all, remember that volatility and these uncertainties are likely to be fairly short-lived. They will get, I think, to a reasonable agreement by the end of the year, and then there's a couple of years after that. So you should have sufficient license within your financial affairs to have access to your spending capital during that next period of 6 months to 18 months, 2 years maybe, whereas your whole portfolio should be directed towards the benefit of obtaining increased wealth in the medium to longer term. And if your portfolio was set up on that basis, it's highly likely that you won't need to tweak it too much. You just need to understand that when that volatility comes along, as we've seen earlier this year with the massive falls that occurred at the outset of the pandemic and the incredible recovery in the United States, and they're not short of incredible recovery in the UK stock market as well. Some of the markets fell by 40% and some of them are back to where they started from. It seems unbelievable, but that is the way the markets react. So don't be unduly concerned if there are outstanding issues within the Brexit negotiations that cause the markets to be volatile. Remember, if you are properly diversified in a portfolio that was established for the medium to longer term, these negotiations will have been concluded in the shorter term. And so, therefore, you really shouldn't have to do too much to stay the course.
Well, what about tax planning? Should British expatriates in Spain review their tax planning at this point in time?
I think that is an important consideration. I think the changes that have been announced already in a variety of areas mean that you just do need to take note of what possible changes there may be. When it comes to taxes that you pay in Spain, there isn't actually any solid reason for anything to change post-Brexit. The double tax treaty isn't affected by the Brexit negotiations. It will still be in place whatever is agreed between the negotiators. And so that double tax treaty governs where you have to pay your tax. That is entirely independent, of course, of the European Union. And there are some circumstances where I do feel that listeners now need to take, in many cases, quite urgent action to protect their wealth and other areas of their savings from unnecessary risks. Once the UK leaves the European Union, an expatriate, for example, selling a home in Spain to buy a British property won't any longer be eligible for capital gains tax relief. So if you're looking to transfer pensions, there could be some consequences. So the answer is you need to take personalised advice now with your personal circumstances at the forefront to establish whether or not there are any potential implications for you and what the solutions might be for the benefit of you and your family.
Finally, is it a good time to review the pension options available to UK nationals in Spain?
I think this is one of the urgencies of the moment, if I'm honest, Howard. As things stand, Brexit shouldn't really have any impact on how expatriates can access funds from the UK where there are registered pension schemes, or indeed to transfer to what's known as a qualifying recognised overseas pension. But there has been quite incredible, and I don't think unnecessary speculation, that the UK could increase or widen the current 25% overseas transfer charge, which currently only affects EU residents who transfer their UK pension to a qualified, recognised overseas pension scheme based outside of the EU. Once the UK is outside of the EU bloc, the UK gains freedom to tax capital within the EU borders. So it seems to me that there is a serious potential for the revenue to collect 25% tax from any transfers from a UK pension scheme into a CURROPS, even though that CURROPS may be based within the EU. They already charge at 25% on transfers to a CURROPS outside of the EU. But then once we've left, then perhaps that will be an opportunity for the Chancellor to improve his revenue collection to refund the economy following the amount of money he spent within the economy over the last 3 or 4 months. Now, if you transfer now, you can shelter your pension from future changes to UK rules, and you can also provide the flexible currency options we were talking about earlier to protect your income from fluctuating exchange rates. But it's worth remembering that there are plenty of scams out there, plenty of people trying to take your pension money for ne'er-do-well reasons. This is not a one-size-fits-all solution. As with any pension decision, it is absolutely imperative that you seek personalised and regulated advice to establish the right approach for you. Before you are able to transfer certain pension arrangements, you have to actually prove that you've taken advice from a qualified pensions advisor who is regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the UK. It is important right now to review pension arrangements, because if it is right for you to transfer out of a UK pension scheme into a regulated pension scheme which qualifies overseas, then that right may be subject to tax after the 31st of December, whereas if you do it before the 31st of December, that transfer is essentially tax-free. So, you know, now there's never been a better time, really, to build a working relationship with a locally based financial advisor who can keep you informed of developments that affect you and your family. Explaining these cross-border implications help you to plan exactly how best you should position your affairs to optimise returns and minimise taxation.
And your website at blevinsfranks.com is an excellent source for people who are perhaps unaware of your activities, Bill.
That's true, Howard. There's a lot of information on the website. It's extensive. It covers the issue of qualifying recognised overseas pension schemes in some detail. You can research the nature of the business and even identify the office closest to your home with their contact names and details. There's almost always a biopic of the individuals who will be operating those offices. So go take a look at the website. And if you feel that there is something that you need to do or that we may be able to advise you upon, if you're uncertain about something, it doesn't harm anybody or hurt anything or cost anything to ask the question. So go to the website, www.blevinsfranks.com, and you'll find, as I say, the contact details for the offices closest to your home. Give them a ring. I'm sure you'll find it worthwhile.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about another interesting topic at the same time next week. So for now, Bill, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks very much indeed, Howard. Have a good week.